Today is June 25th, 2015. I'm here at Ted Good Music interviewing Mr. Ian Robinson for the class Advanced Topics in Oral History for the project Music and the Brandon Community. So before we begin, Mr. Robinson, I just want to clarify that we've gone over the consent form and there's no issues or concerns that you have from it?
Nope, everything's good.
Okay, any questions or anything like that you want?
None that I can think of.
All right, thank you. All right, so let's begin. So if you'd be so kind, if maybe get you to introduce yourself, please.
Sure. I'm Ian Robinson, owner of Ted Good Music here in Brandon.
Okay. So are you originally from Brandon yourself?
Yeah, I born and raised Brandon. History sort of my family involved with this, with Ted Good Music, is my dad originally bought the business in 1973 from Ted Good.
Okay.
So, and then I was born in 78. Yeah, I just kind of grew up in Brandon.
All right.
Sort of through different types of music that my dad was involved with, through his bands. And
okay, so music was a pretty big component to growing up for you?
Yeah, I was always around music, whether it was as kids, you know, spending summers here, just hanging out, or, and then just as, you know, life progressed, you get a little older, you take music lessons, took them here, piano lessons, clarinet lessons as a kid, and then eventually kind of worked my way into schools.
Okay.
School band, and sort of situations like that.
I see. So was it a fairly big family? Or?
No, just my brother. I have one brother, and then mom and dad, so relatively small, average family, I guess, if you want to say that.
Okay. So no partridge family?
Nope. Yeah.
All right. So you said you grew up in Brandon, and you mentioned staying in summers. Like, did you guys do a lot of traveling growing up?
Yeah, you know, we were fortunate to do. My parents were into traveling. We kind of traveled all across Canada as well as down into the States. More specifically, one that I actually kind of remember is that kind of to do with the business here is that Dad, they have a show down in Anaheim, California, where they release sort of the new gear every year in January.
Okay.
So that's kind of one trip I always remember. He went off to the NAMM show, and we went to Disneyland as kids, right? But, you know, that it did make, you know, the travel down there. We drove down there as a family, and, yeah, it was just, I can relate to him, why he actually took us down there as a family trip, but also as, you know, the business aspect of things, too. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, business and pleasure.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay. So you mentioned your dad was in a lot of bands.
Yeah, he's he grew up playing the trumpet. That's his instrument. He played in, I believe it was the Air Cadet Band.
Okay.
As a kid, and then just sort of local bands. Back in the day, instead of rock bands, are quite common nowadays, it was sort of big bands where they would have the drummer, saxophone, trumpet, trombone player, you know, quite often anywhere from an 8 to 15 piece band would be common. It's kind of big band swing music is what he was involved with. So yeah,
stuff that the kids wanted to dance to.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So for yourself with music, was it always something that you yourself had an interest, or did you kind of just kind of develop it through your parents? Or
yeah, it was basically kind of developed, I guess. There was always an interest in it, that's for sure. You know, listening to music, listening, especially kind of when a young teenager, when you start to discover music, you get your own Walkman, CD player, you know, that idea, and then you can find out what music you really do like, what you're interested in. But I did the piano lessons, like I said earlier, was the first thing when I was sort of 5, 6, 7 years old. And then when I knew I was going into band in sort of junior high, then I started with the clarinet. Been exposed to all types of music like all kinds of music.
Okay.
Right, you know, anything from big band, jazz, rock, I would say is probably my favorite.
Okay.
Hip hop, you know, all that stuff I listen to. So.
Okay. As long as it's good, sort of thing.
That's it. Yeah, you know, you kind of find something that you like, and I go through these phases.
Oh yeah.
And I think back to, you know, when I was a teenager, young teenager, just kind of discovering all types of music. You know, it was just. I think I'd have to say the Poison, the Bon Jovi's, you know, Motley Crue. You know, that's kind of the phase I really enjoyed that type of music at that time.
Okay.
So, yeah. But I was the fact that I joined band in junior high and I continued on to right through grade 11 was before I switched schools. I was exposed to all types of music.
Okay.
That's really what it was. Pop music and then more specifically jazz. I didn't understand what jazz was, but you know, once you start studying it, it kind of makes a little more sense.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what schools did you go to?
I went to, it started off even when I was young, grades kind of 1 through 6 was J.R. Reed.
All right.
And, you know, as for musical aspect, there was music classes that they had, and they mm-hmm. discovered the recorder, and then all sort of what they call the ORF instruments with the small xylophones and shakers and stuff. But grade 7 through 11, I was at Vincent Massey.
All right.
And then in my grade 12 year, I decided to go to a private school, Mennonite Collegiate Institute in Gretna, Manitoba.
All right.
And that was quite the experience. I didn't do band, but it was mandatory that you take choir. So I learned how to sing. I wasn't a singer. You couldn't get me to sing, but when you're in a school of 150 kids that are all singing, you just join.
Yeah, makes perfect sense.
Yeah, so that was, again, just a different aspect of music that I wasn't aware of.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So growing up, how would you say it was the main way you kind of got access to music? Like, did you listen to a lot of radio, or you mentioned, like, cassette tape and Walkman?
Yeah, you know, lots of, when we were going on those family trips and stuff, there's always a tape in the cassette player.
Oh, yeah.
You know, whether it was Beatles or, I guess, back in those days, there's Solid Gold Hits, I think is what it was called, and they just had a collection of all the hits from sort of 60s and 70s, so kind of got familiar with a lot of that music. But yeah, I kind of went through all the phases of music, really. You know, their parents had the record player at home, then cassette. I guess I kind of missed out on the 8-track. There was none of that. I just went to cassette.
Yeah.
And then, 90s and 2000s kind of was your CDs, and then your mini discs, digital music. That idea, that was quite kind of where you can cut and paste and put all that stuff on the computer onto one disc.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's your digital mainstream media.
Yeah.
So, but I'd say the bulk of it, it really introduced me was literally cassettes in the 80s and 90s.
Mm-hmm. The joys of being able to record your own music onto your own tapes.
Yeah, you know, when you'd do that mixtape type thing.
Yep.
You know, we'd get together as our teenagers, you know, I got the best mixtape. No, I got the best.
Yep.
You know, listen to these songs and you try and get the best bang for your dollar. And, I don't know. I guess we were kind of into it a little. You know, you just kind of time. Okay, the song is this long, and I have this much left.
Yeah.
What can I fit on here? So you go through all your stuff to get that last song to fill up that full tape. And, it was just a fun experience, I guess.
Oh yeah,
with listening to music is really what it was.
Yeah, and hoping the tape would actually last you long enough too.
Yep, that's so true.
So, did you also do a lot of, like, did you go to a lot of concerts or live music?
As a kid and teenager, not a whole lot. I wasn't until kind of 18, 19, 20. That's when I started to discover the live music.
Oh, yeah.
Is really what it was. I knew that, you know, in my younger days, I knew that my dad owned a music store, but I didn't understand what it was.
Right.
I played music, but I didn't realize, you know, I would come here and there would be, you know, instruments and stuff, but I didn't understand, you know. So,
okay.
I didn't realize at that point the connection of, you know, people come in and buy a guitar, join a band, go on the road, you know, play concerts, you know, stuff like that. I shouldn't say just go on the road, but even concerts and stuff around town at sort of halls and stuff like that. But I never put that together, you know, until later. And then, yeah, like you said, when I was 17, 18, 19, 20, you know, even now I still go to concerts.
Okay.
Absolutely. But, yeah. And I even go to a lot of the concerts that the teenagers nowadays put on at some of the halls. You know, some of our teachers here at the store, they're in bands together, and they'll just say, hey, we're putting on a show, I'll show up. And,
yeah, it's kind of
experience something that I didn't experience when I was a kid, because I didn't necessarily understand sort of the process of, you know, developing a band and putting on a show and you know, showing people your work, you know, kind of polished. Yeah.
Yeah, and also just to give people a chance to expose them to music as well.
Very much so, yeah.
So after high school, what did you do?
Sure. It was basically I went straight into ACC for business administration.
Okay.
And worked here.
Yeah.
I started working here actually when I was 16. During the summer, cleaning instruments.
Right.
We would band instruments, I should say. A lot of the schools in the area, we would go and pick up their instruments and get them ready for fall. Just clean them, repair them, whatever is necessary. So I did that for, still do that. But as a teenager, sort of young adult, that's kind of what I did. And then when I graduated, yeah, ACC, and then there was an opportunity, a fellow sort of moved on from here, so there was a full-time position that I kind of walked into.
Okay.
And ACC was good, but it wasn't, just wasn't for me at the time.
Right.
So I did 1 year and just kind of put it on hold and worked for 3 years, and I went back to finish sort of the business admin.
Okay.
And at that point it made so much more sense to me. I understood why the courses I was taking, you know, and how they apply to what I do here. So
yeah, once you got that real world experience.
That's exactly it. I'm really one that's how I learn, is I learn by doing. Other people, they can learn by reading. You know, there's lots of different ways to learn, but I'm really one that I need to be a hands-on kind of guy.
Yeah.
Figure it out for myself, or you know, be taught and then kind of work with it that way. So by getting some experience in dealing with the public, even just becoming older, maturing.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, that made the second portion of the business admin just so much easier. And like I said, I understood a lot more and got more out of it for the most part.
Yeah, absolutely.
I guess, you know, in the grand scheme of things, with music and kind of what I offer here, I'm more of a business person that enjoys music.
Okay.
Where we have some of our employees, our musicians, who like to sell instruments or, you know, be amongst equipment and gear. Music, to me, comes fairly easy. Kind of blessed with understanding it.
Okay.
I don't take it to that full extent and just, you know, I guess I don't use my music skills for just playing music and playing live. Like, you couldn't get me to play live.
Yeah.
I thoroughly enjoy just playing at home, just in my own basement or man cave, whatever you want to call it. I tinker around here to show people, and that's what I enjoy.
Okay.
My main thing too is enjoying running the business, you know, making sure guys are understanding what they're doing around here, the business aspect of things.
Yeah,
that's
sure.
Kind of what my main role is.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, cool. So actually, maybe going into that now. Now, from what I understand, especially like back in the 60s for sure, there used to be quite a bit of music stores, especially in like the downtown area. Are you familiar much with the that history?
Yeah, actually, you know, that's one thing I like to hear about. We have guys that are still on staff, or one fellow anyway, that he has been through all of that.
Okay.
Yeah, he's kind of my dad's right-hand man, and when dad retired 8 years ago and I took over, Kent's still here, and he remembers those days and playing in the Palladium downtown. Yeah, Johnson Sound, there was Music World Academy, there's Brandon Musical and Supply. these are kind of all different eras, but there's been a variety of different music stores throughout the years in Brandon, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. There's always kind of been at least two stores, or three, and things kind of changed, but unfortunately we've been one that's kind of tested the time, I guess, that idea. You know, there's been ups and downs, but sort of just the music world has completely changed from back in the day. I remember Dad, some of his stories are, it's just like they would have two or three customers in for the day.
Really?
They'd sell a pick, a couple of strings. Like, just, it is so different nowadays that it's so busy. Mm-hmm. Music is a part of a lot of people's lives, whether it's, you know, for enjoyment or they have to, to do with school, or it's, you know, that's a way of life for them.
Yeah.
You know, so things really kind of have just changed over the years, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So would you say it's always safe to say there's always been a market, but I guess it's kind of like a fluctuating market.
It really is. That's right. There's always kind of been ups and downs, and a lot of that has to do with just excitement around town.
Okay.
Now, if there's places to play, mm-hmm. and places willing to pay bands that have put the effort into learning songs, their style, their art, if there's people that are getting other people excited about music, then the scene in Brandon is exciting.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, then people, oh, there's this new band, I want to go play. Yeah, or go see them play. Right now, there's kind of in a bit of a mid-downturn. There isn't a whole lot of places. Some of the places aren't necessarily offering to pay bands, and a lot of bands don't want to for free.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I look at it from a different aspect, as, you know, from a restaurant. A restaurant's like, okay, if I'm going to pay them X amount of dollars, I need to bring in, or they need to bring in this amount of customers to help pay. The musician part of me is like, okay, I've, you know, studied up these songs for a number of years. I took lessons to learn how to play this instrument. I feel that I can play well. I entertain people. I'd like to be reimbursed for that.
Right.
And, you know, so that's the way I always side with the bands on that. But, you know, as a business point of, you know, the business person, I understand places like that just say, you know, I don't have the capital to pay a band, but if you guys want to come in here and play, we'll give you maybe a free meal or something. It's like, you know, that's fine and dandy, but sometimes it's just
or
a meal isn't the best thing, or drinks or a bad idea, right?
Yeah, I was just going to say, some of the bars, you're, you know, bands lucky, get $50 and maybe a drink, free drink or two.
Exactly. So it's, yeah, that, and that's been going on for years. It's all, it's not just hasn't been lately. It's that, you know, the stories from back in the day are like that too. But the other thing too is bands that would play for parties have been replaced by DJs.
Yeah.
DJs are now being replaced by anybody can rent a sound system and plug their phone in, and you got a personal DJ here, your own DJ there. So there's been this correlation of you know, people that have changed, you know, the way to listen to music,
mm-hmm.
you know, and things like that. But no, I think there's always going to be live music somewhere, because people want to see somebody, you know, a band, and if it's a good band, they know how to interact with the audience or their customer base, and you know, have some fun. DJs can interact as well, but it's when you got your drummer, you got your guitar player, you got a sax section, trumpets, or a big band, or anything like that. It makes things exciting when you can see a number of people performing. So
yeah, and still creates that personal connection between the audience and the band, as compared to, you know, watching a DJ behind a bunch of turntables.
Yeah, and you know, the DJs, they do their thing too. They polish, you know, they got a assess the crowd and see what music is, you know, because every crowd is different, every hall is different. But you do have to put on a show. The good DJs do well. Mm-hmm. The poor DJs, they don't last.
Yeah.
You know? And the same with bands. If you have a band that's not, you know, taking too long to tune in the middle of sets, not interacting with the crowd, that'll hurt them as well.
But, okay. So overall, would you say there's still quite a bit in Brandon, or is it kind of more of a, like, sort of a Westman region thing now?
In Brandon, there is, there's good sort of, there's a lot of bands that I do know of.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of places to play is still kind of, you know, you have to, I guess there isn't a lot of places for the young bands to play.
Yeah.
That just has to do with age, right? You know, there's the North 40, there's Houston's, there's Lady of the Lake, the Decker. There was the Dock, but they kind of go through phases where they'll bring in bands and then they won't.
Yeah.
And same with Lady of the Lake, they're kind of, they shut the music scene down once they started, or they quit serving dinner.
Oh.
So, but I guess there was a lot of backlash from that. A lot of their customers were like, no, we like that dinner music that you put on. So I guess that's kind of coming back. But when it comes there, I just think of sort of the teenagers and stuff like that. You know, they're starting to just have house parties.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll go and play for house parties. And or they'll rent a hall and they'll have an all-ages show or something like that. So
it's
that's what's been going on. I even remember, I didn't go to any of the shows when I was a teenager, but I knew that stuff was going on too, because I kind of hear it through the halls of the school.
Right.
Oh, you're going to go to this show and stuff. It's like, oh, no. I didn't know about it at the time, but I really looked back and was like, oh, I should have. You know, those are opportunities that could have saw some more live music and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, sort of things. The scene around town is good. There's definitely a lot of rural stuff going on too, the different communities. There's once a month a thing called Westman Jams to anybody who likes old time country.
Oh yeah.
Shuffles and stuff like that. They get together out in Spruce Woods.
Okay.
At a hall, and they just get together on a Sunday afternoon and jam all day.
Oh nice.
So I know that their stuff definitely goes on, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But not as much as it used to. Sort of back to Kent, who works here, who's kind of gone through all the ages. He had a band, and they would play 200 gigs a year.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a lot of playing. So every weekend, and sometimes, two or three times a week.
Yep.
You know, that idea, so.
Yeah, and sometimes you're traveling probably 200-300 miles. Or
absolutely. They were, they had a band that was a staple in this town. They played a lot of weddings, a lot of socials. They weren't just the only band. There's a lot of bands doing that at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just, times have changed and there just isn't the live music.
Mm-hmm.
I even think about when I first turned 18 and you hit up the bar here in town or the clubs or whatever. Houston's had a band Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Wow.
They had your 4 nights a week.
Mm-hmm.
And then it went down to Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And then went down to Friday, Saturday. And then it was every other week they're bringing Saturday. And I this is something that I've seen, so this is kind of what I'm kind of going through, what, say, Kent has gone through from his 50 years of playing.
Right.
You know, and I'm just thinking about, the last, say, 20 years that I've been able to kind of see some live music at clubs in town. I just picked Houston's because that was just, they had regularly a band, and that was a place that I would kind of hit up just to see live music.
Mm-hmm.
And, but they're Crystal here in town. They've had people or bands for years on just Saturday night, or they'll have Saturday afternoon jams. The 40s always been around too.
Of course,
they started in the I think it was the early 80s.
Okay,
it was when they kind of their live music.
So maybe we can transition from that. Let's maybe kind of get into now, perhaps maybe the history of the business itself. Here.
Sure. Okay.
So the business was actually started by a gentleman named Ted Good.
Yep.
You mentioned this, right?
Yep.
Do you remember? Do you know that backstory?
Yeah. No, that's a little bit. Ted was. He was in, I think it was Air Cadets, Sea Cadet Band, one of those bands.
Okay.
And he was a conductor.
Mm-hmm.
Very sketchy on when that is, but in about 66 is when he actually opened the storefront.
Okay.
1966, he had the storefront here, this section right here, like this old house.
Okay.
In early 70s, they put on this, the front door area where you just kind of first walked in.
Oh, all right.
What he started off was is teaching lessons.
Okay.
That was what he did. He'd teach lessons here. Then him and my dad and Kent would get in a car and they'd go out to Minnedosa, Hamiota, Neepawa, Erickson, and they would teach lessons throughout the day at those communities.
Okay.
So it was different. They didn't necessarily have band class, but you would, if you wanted to learn the trumpet, you know, your spot would be, say, 10 a.m., you'd come out of your school class and go take your lesson for half an hour and then go back to school.
Right.
That's kind of how that would work.
Yeah, because I think back in the day, yeah, schools didn't really have too much in the way of actual music programs.
No, they didn't. And I know that Ted Good was sort of, he started the Hamiota band. He got the school involved with, okay, let's create a band class. And so that's one thing that I was aware of. And I think it just sort of evolved from there. You know, one school tried it, another school would kind of see that type of program. And you know, instead of individual lessons, they'd have one big lesson for the whole band.
Gotcha.
So that idea is kind of how that would work. And they did that for a number of years. And then, like I said, in the early 70s, they started with the selling more instruments.
Okay.
The retail aspect of it. Lessons were still quite huge portion of the business for that. And then in 73 is when my dad took over.
Okay.
And just kind of sort of stayed with that sort of same game plan, and then just there was opportunities to sell more instruments, expand a little more.
Yeah.
But still, the lesson portion of it was quite large.
All right.
Yeah. And it was different lessons. They would offer woodwind and brass instruments, so that's what kids would learn back then. Instead of guitar and bass and drums, they learned trumpet, clarinet, saxophone, trombone, those types of what we classify nowadays as band instruments.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and then just about the mid '80s is kind of where there was a big. There's always been guitar, but sort of, early to mid '80s is when the lesson program started to see more guitar and more drums students, and sort of the band instruments would sort of back off a bit. I think some of that too is that at that point there was school band classes,
right.
So kids are learning in school, no need to take extra lessons for, you're learning, you got your hour lesson at school for trumpet, no need to take an hour lesson of private lesson, unless, you were really into it.
Yeah,
he still offered it. Kent was one of our teachers here up until probably 96, 97. It was
okay.
Kind of when he quit teaching the trumpet, but he was still getting three or four students a week anyway. So
wow.
I just wanted to polish their skills on to make that jazz band, to make the honor band, things that were offered back then.
Okay.
So, yeah. I guess, and then in 97 is when we actually expanded, and that's when we noticed a big difference. Once we expanded the store, we went north and added a section where you see the electric guitars and the PA systems and drum. Our store just really took off from there. Once we did that, we started to offer more. There's more product, more new lines that we brought in. Just gave people more opportunity to buy in town than say go to Winnipeg,
right?
Something like that.
Yeah. So you said like it was just the three gentlemen who started out. So what was the impetus for your dad to buy or purchase the place? Was it just kind of to keep things going?
I think it was to kind of keep things going. It was just the right time. He was, him and mom had just got married, and I think he knew that, he'd love to play music. He was into music. That was his thing. He just sort of, I guess the right time, the opportunity was there. I think Ted just saw something in my dad that, there's a fellow who can kind of take charge and look after. Store and make sure that music is hopefully going to stay in Brandon, or not music necessarily, but have a store for musicians to continue to buy and have an opportunity. opportunity to learn, you know, that idea. So I think that's really kind of what it was. It's just, yeah, Ted and Dad, they had a relationship that was pretty good, and Ted was ready to maybe move on.
Okay.
That's kind of what it was.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Yeah, and then, like I said, yeah, just Dad and Kent and Scott, who actually, Scott joined in the 80s as a teacher and then worked himself into a full-time position, and he's been here for, I guess we're coming up 40 years or so.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, no, these guys have been around a long time.
Mm-hmm.
As a business person, business owner, I value that.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I need their experience. Because we have customers that they started as young kids, and they're still coming in.
Yeah.
And they grew up selling instruments and just helping them out with any issues or concerns that they may have had over the years. And, they've developed a customer base for themselves.
Mm-hmm. As far as it is. Yeah, and just kind of retain that, what's it called, the institutional memory, I believe.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, they clearly they've done a great job, for a store to last this long. Can't do it without good staff.
Absolutely.
Treating people right. If you don't do that, customers won't keep coming.
Oh, yes.
So, yeah. But, and then just being out in the public as well. The store does a lot for the community, too. In the bands, there's a lot of sort of promo work that we do.
Mm-hmm.
Not just now, I've always done that. It's just, a guy comes in, my PA system just blew up. What, can you help me with something? I'm playing in about 2 hours.
Right.
We load up the truck and go help them.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that. And they've been doing that for a long time. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and you guys also do some sponsorships around town, too.
Yeah, right? We like to kind of help out, even as much as just, buying a little ad in, say, Neyland, Crocus, Vincent Massey's, major productions, sponsor, one of their actors, things like that. The 70 Social, which is another social that seems to be a yearly event, we kind of help out with that. Things that we do are just mostly donate a guitar or shirts and things like that, gift certificates, walk, lots of things like that. We try to just, it's nice to sort of, with the support we get from the community and surrounding area, we like to, at least help out as well. It's not just give.
Yeah, absolutely.
Take,
yeah.
There's always a bit of helping people out when you can.
Oh, yeah.
And especially, I like to kind of help out the young bands. I talked about teachers. We have young teachers that start here, and quite often they're real excited about the instruments they're learning, and they start their first band. They're excited to put it on their first show.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we'll donate PA systems for them because they don't have any money to buy PA systems so their crowd can hear, or lights and stuff like that. So, I enjoy that because they come in just pumped, ready to go. How do I set this up? And, you show them all this, and then, they come back and they just say, I had a great show. Thanks for that.
Okay.
Equipment and stuff, so that's it. Kind of makes you that feel good type thing.
Absolutely.
And then you're not just thinking, I want to keep this customer. It's a long term relationship. It's what you're really building, and eventually friendship. You kind of end up
mm-hmm.
building with people over the years.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
so with your music teachers, where do they usually come from? Like, do they usually come from their own personal background in music, or do they sometimes come from the university to?
Yeah, we actually kind of do a little bit of both.
Okay.
We have sort of kids who have maybe started taking lessons here, for guitar, maybe started as a 12-year-old, and they continue for 3 or 4 years in the program, and we just kind of see that if they're progressing well and a good attitude and easy to talk to, then we'll kind of say, hey, are you interested in maybe a junior position guitar?
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll look at, we like to have usually a couple advanced teachers on staff as well, which usually kind of come from the university.
Okay.
Sort of university students just looking for extra income throughout the school year. So that's kind of what we do, have a little mix of both.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the junior teachers eventually go into university and get their formal training, if you want to call that, as well. And they'll continue to stay on. And then some of them even stay on to for full-time positions. So you just never know how that kind of stuff works out. But, yeah, we just, with teaching, it's just mostly a little mix of young teachers and sort of advanced teachers.
Okay.
That's what we kind of like to have. And, yeah, I guess the music program, that's a whole separate, you know, thing. You got to really make sure that you match the kid with the right teacher.
Right.
You know, that that's just a whole different section. And, yeah, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose.
Yeah.
And then you have to kind of juggle if things aren't connecting quite right. Yeah, that's the whole experience of the teaching world.
Okay. Yeah, and you've got teachers for like various different instruments.
Yeah,
too, right?
The instruments that we mostly do now are guitar, bass, drums, and piano. Those
okay.
are our sort of four main ones that we do. When it comes to the band instruments, then there's other private instructors that we know of in town that we kind of recommend,
right.
Whether it's people at the university or just standalone private people who play in bands and stuff like that. So we have a connection with other teachers in town as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Maybe just let that ring there
yeah.
for a little bit.
yeah. Forgot it there.
Yeah. Okay. Jen, my head was ringing. I was almost expecting the rotary.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. Okay. So, actually, overall, I'm just kind of curious, what sort of relationship do you, like, which, because you mentioned, yeah, we've already touched on this a fair bit, I guess, but how would you state the relationship between the business and the schools across Brandon, like, both the university and the elementary and high schools?
Yeah, you know, we definitely have a good working relationship with, you know, schools in Brandon, as well as a lot of the rural schools.
Okay.
University as well. There's some great profs over there now, especially since they've kind of changed up the program. They've introduced sort of jazz studies.
Yep.
And, you know, they got some really good teachers there. Good, you know, they're not just good players, but they're just good motivational speakers, good teachers overall. They're just, so yeah, we know Mr. Kane and Eric Platts. That was just a couple that we see on a regular basis, but Greg Gation, you know, he's been there a long time, but he's done a very good job. He's putting out some top quality players, that's for sure.
Oh yeah.
And they, you know, and they tell their students, you know, just head down to Ted Goods, you know. So which, you know, is great for us. Sort of seemed to be the store that can help them, and then, you know, they help us type thing.
Yep.
With the high schools, junior high schools in town, same thing. You know, we. I think the fact that we've been here so long that you know, they know we're here.
Right.
And not saying that we just take advantage of that, because we're constantly, you know, in contact with those teachers saying, hey, you know, if there's any instruments that need to be picked up for repairs, we'll swing by and do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things like that. And then the rural schools, a lot of mail outs, you know, stuff sent out right away for them, so they can get. They don't have to spend, you know, from Melitta, for example, spend that hour and a half drive,
right?
Which is, you know, technically your 3 to 4 hour turnaround for a teacher just to come in and get something. So, yeah, we try and you know, hit up all aspects of all the schools and, you know, try to at least let them know that we're still here and
mm-hmm.
help out as best we can.
Okay. Yeah, because you guys also have a fairly extensive rental program too, I believe, right?
Yeah, we do pretty good with the rentals. Kind of hovers around the 200 to 220 units.
Okay.
For your band instruments and or guitars. We try to offer, you know, as much as possible to as many people as possible.
Yeah.
You know, to do with music, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
There's yeah, band programs have even changed over the years. Some of them are calling them more music programs opposed to band, because they are offering guitar courses or music technology, which is kind of understanding how to record.
Okay.
You know, so band teachers are not just stuck in the old age of here's our symphony band or, you know, jazz band and this is it.
Right.
So they have to, they're keeping up with the times of how to keep kids interested in, you know, why are we doing this? Why are you learning this instrument? Because it can lead to this, it can lead to this, you know, things like that. So, and they get, you know, we stay on top of that too to let them know about, okay, it could be as simple as a little tuner that clips on the end of a horn.
Right.
You know, this is cool. We just fire off an email or something. Hey, kids have tuning issues. They need to work on their tuning. Clip this on. It's on there. They can see it. They play their note. They know if they're in tune. They can adjust, you know, their mouth or their slide position as necessary. So, you know, it could be just things like that. And then you get into the digital world of recording and microphones. And that's, again, that's a whole different aspect. But like I said, the teachers are... they're changing up the way they're teaching too, and like I said, a more music program. One guy comes to mind is Thomas Matthews up in Erickson. He's teaching fiddle. He's got like three or four pianos going at once, drums, guitar, and then he's got, then you incorporate your band instruments. He's got it all going.
Wow.
And because every kid wants to learn a trumpet, trombone, saxophone. They may have interest in guitar, or you know, they come from a background of playing piano. They got their grade 9 piano, and they want to play in a band.
Yeah,
you know that idea. So he's like, let's make it work.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, there, you know, it's neat to see bands kind of evolve as well. You know, different ideas that these teachers are coming up with, just because they want to keep if their numbers are dwindling, they're not going to have a band program.
Yeah, the funding is just not going to be there for them.
Exactly. So they're trying all kinds of different things.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Okay. Well, I guess speaking of evolution, for the business, like, what have been some of the major major changes over the years that really have had an impact on the business itself?
Right. Well, it come down to the social media aspect. It's huge right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas even 5 years ago, we were doing a lot of radio ads and print ads in the paper.
Okay.
Now we're, you know, we look back into, say, even the early 90s, we were running TV ads.
Oh, right, with CKX.
CKX, the local stations and stuff like that. And then in the 80s, that's what it all was just radio, paper, and TV. And there was when people were watching local stations. So, you know, advertising is a big thing of like how things have changed for the store. So we're spending more time on sort of your social media mediums, your Facebooks, your potentially Twitters and Instagrams and things like that that, you know, the younger generation is, you know, fully into, that's for sure. But we do have older customers that still read the papers, so you still want to reach them as well,
right?
But so that's kind of one thing that that I've noticed personally. As for instruments and stuff like that, there's always sort of ups and downs with every instrument. Guitars as steady as ever. There, we sell lots of guitars, but drums, they have this sort of big ups and down period. Say 2002 to 2006, there was a huge like thing for drums.
Oh, okay.
And we were bringing in drum clinicians.
Okay.
Putting on sort of clinics for local drummers, and you know, let them to see, you know, there's great musicians in town, but when you get the opportunity to see a professional, it's really neat to see. It's like, wow, you know, you think you're good, and there's always somebody better. But it's not so much about watching a better player; it's about learning from them.
Absolutely,
and, you know, picking up, you know, tricks of the trades, if you so called. So, but in the last few years, it's not, I don't know. Nobody really knows, even our industry reps. They're just like, what happened to the drum world? The bottom just kind of came out. But, you know, for a few years there, I think the market really just got saturated with drums.
All right.
So, and then there's also the inspiration. You know, a lot of that comes down to, too, is inspiration of good music out there nowadays.
Right.
Bands that you look up to that putting out good music, that, you know, that are putting out those anthems that are going to stay for a long time. But the way the world has also changed, it's not just, you know, locally, it's just the whole world is always, what's the next, okay, that's a great hit, that's number one this week, 10 minutes later, they're looking for the next big hit.
Yeah.
So whereas 80s, 90s, even early 2000s, there was music on the charts for weeks and weeks at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Where now it's sort of a week or two, it seems to be, you know, that's great
yeah.
if you can last that long. But so, you know, it's just, it's so different, and it's just so, there's a lot out there,
mm-hmm.
that's for sure. And it's just sticking with, you know, your game plan, but you have to kind of still, like our game plan is you treat people right, you offer as much as possible, give them lots of opportunities to try different things.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, it just kind of comes down to you treat people right, offer a fair price. That goes a long way, and that's, you know, even that's what Dad's done for,
yeah,
since he started. So, you know, I believe in that, but you do have to, you know, stay up with the times of the different social medias and just sort of, I say social media a lot because that's the way, you know, people connect nowadays.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot of it's just you type a quick message on the phone and it's gone.
Yeah, and then it's just that really fast turnaround too on the messaging.
Yep, yeah, it's just everything is so instant, and you know, for us to be on top of, you know, the latest and greatest, you know, quite often our customers know more than we do at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we're not, you know, checking the internet every 10 minutes,
yeah.
you know, that might be a little exaggerated, but it sort of seems like it. It's just like you really got to be up with it. I don't know. Just, yeah, so I say the advertising is big change. Just sort of dealing with people, more emails, and
right.
you know, less personal talk. And, you know, we field a lot of phone calls and a lot of emails, where people used to just kind of come in a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you still connect with them and email, say, "Oh yeah, we got it," and then they come in. You know
yeah.
that idea, opposed to they just come in and just take a look around or
mm-hmm.
that idea.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, no, things have changed, but we're trying to stay with it.
So, obviously, with social media, it's definitely changed like your whole almost marketing aspect. Have you noticed any other changes that the internet has kind of brought along as well?
Yeah. We don't actually see a whole lot of you stuff anymore because
okay.
people sell it themselves.
Right.
Right? So, you got your e-brand and classifieds that
mm-hmm.
you can put up for free.
Yeah.
So it's like somebody will say, okay, I want to sell my guitar. I'll go and see what it's worth. Well, you know, on a trade, as a business owner, we have to offer them this amount because we have to put some time and effort into cleaning it up, new strings or whatever, and we're going to sell for this amount. Where they think that it's already
yes
worth this, which technically they're right, but if they want us to sell it, you know, bad idea. So then they'll try and sell it for that amount themselves. So there's that aspect of we don't see a whole lot of used stuff, but when they come in and they'll buy the new stuff once their item is gone.
Mm-hmm.
And then even the vintage market, now we don't deal a whole lot with the vintage, but that can be a big market as well.
Okay.
And that is also just, if somebody's willing to pay X amount of dollars for an old guitar,
right?
Then, you know, that's great for the seller.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we don't personally go into that, but the fact that it's accessible and we can see it on the eBays and the eBrandons or you know eTrade, stuff like that. Yeah, it's neat to see what other people have out there in the world and
mm-hmm.
you know, what, you know, we see so much of the same stuff. You know, a particular guitar, a Stratocaster guitar is still a Stratocaster guitar. Every
right.
year they just come up with a different color.
Yeah.
But when you can see something that say came from Europe
mm-hmm.
and that you haven't seen, you know, ever, or you've only ever just seen on a picture, but you can see in a particular. Some people even bring them in and say, "Here, I got this from, you know, wherever," and it's kind of a cool piece. So, you know, it opens the doors to, you know, customers, but it also it allows other customers to kind of. It takes away a bit from our business as well,
mm-hmm.
you know, buying on the internet and stuff, because the extra money that they might have had for a new guitar, they might have saw a really cool old used one
right.
that they think is, you know, the end all and be all.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good and bad, the social media, internet world, but it's not going anywhere, so you have to just kind of go with it and
yep.
find your opportunities to go with it.
Yep. Yeah, and especially with, you know, nice big instruments, I kind of offered to try to order online too.
Yeah, no, that's true. Yeah. Very much so. A lot of people are, they see all the lower prices in the States, but what they forget is when it gets picked up at the border, there's your duty fees.
Yeah, exactly.
And then when it gets delivered to their door, you got to pay GST, and it's just like, oh. We've had, unfortunately, you know, seen that happen, and customers say, oh, can you fix this guitar that got shipped to me? It's like, oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, it's brand new. I just bought it. It should be warranty. It's like, well, no, we offer warranty on our instruments.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, you have to either send it back or we can do the work and there will be a charge. And then it clicks. It's like, oh, okay, I should have just came here first.
Yeah.
I don't have that issue. But, yeah, you hate to see that, you know, especially for customers because you kind of lose that initial sale. But, you know, it is what it is nowadays.
Yeah, that's true, too.
And you just continue to have your name out there and show, you know, what you have if people are searching the internet. So.
And it's also just a chance to maybe recoup from that as well. So if someone does come in, they have that guitar that they need fixed, you provide a really good service, and maybe they'll realize, oh, hey, I need a new speaker system.
Yeah.
I'll just go there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, when somebody's bought something from somewhere else, and it's an opportunity for you to, you know, still help them out. And then, you know, if you help them out well, you know, hopefully they think of you the next time around.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. No. Our repair business is kind of, well, it has increased. We do a lot of repairs now on instruments that come from other areas.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's nothing wrong with that because there's, in the business aspect of things, repairs is labor.
Yep.
Labor is, you know, we're here anyway. So you're not tying up a whole lot of inventory in repair business. So, it's a good aspect of having good repair shop on,
mm-hmm.
and good guys that can repair instruments. So.
Yeah, and I understand you guys are licensed for several different brands as well, right?
Yeah, with our companies that we deal with, you know, there's lots of different companies out there, but quite often the main companies require sort of your like you say, a licensing, or there's an agreement that's signed every year, and then there's a stocking profile of so many pieces that you have to have with their inventory on the wall at, you know, every given point.
Okay.
And then with that, with those big guys, I say the big guys are the main companies, like the Fender, for example.
Oh, yeah.
That's one of our main lines. And it's a guitar line and amplifier line.
Right.
And so, you know, when we sign that agreement and we stock the amount that they, you know, require, they also give us the support for that too. They tell us, you know, how to repair things, or if we can't necessarily repair it, it's easy to deal with them. So, you know, it's a good company to deal with, that's for sure. As a store, we don't like to dabble and just bring in the hottest, the latest thing in.
Mm-hmm.
We like to support what we, if we're going to take on a new line, we're going to bring in 6 or 12 pieces.
Oh, yeah.
To show, you know, look, this is, you know, we're committed to this particular company. There are other stores that I've seen over the years, not necessarily in Brandon, but just in Winnipeg. I do the music store run anytime.
Oh,
yeah. Any place I go to, I just like to see other stores and stuff. And it's, some of them just are always bringing in the latest and greatest, which,
mm-hmm.
you know, you have to because you want to stay on top of things, but they just have a mixed mash of everything and nothing. There's no flow to the store, and
mm-hmm.
it's just like, oh, here's one brand, here's another brand, here's another brand. Well, how do I know which is good? If I see a wall of guitars with the same brand, you know, some support behind it, it's like, okay, well, this is like, to me anyway, as a buyer,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's like this company is invested in this company, this other, you know, brand,
mm-hmm.
because they obviously see something in it. So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now you mentioned guitars are so one of your major sales. Like,
yeah.
Is it a big difference between like acoustic style guitars and electric guitars, or is it fairly balanced across that?
No, actually, acoustics have always been the number one.
Okay.
And especially in the last couple of years, electric hasn't been nearly as popular.
Okay.
And it's acoustic guitars, but it's also just acoustic instruments.
Mm-hmm.
There's banjos, there's the mandolins, and ukuleles are absolutely huge right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You know, number-wise, not necessarily dollar-wise, but units sold, more ukuleles.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
About, let's see, I've been at it 8 years, 7 years ago. So it was about a year after I took over. We started bringing in just a few ukuleles.
Okay.
Right? You know, they had these little guys, but they sell for about $25-$30, and they're colorful. You know, it's almost like, you know, oh, that's cool, I'll just buy it. You know, mm-hmm. like one of those instant, you know, purchases. And a school got involved with it, a school program doing a ukulele club at lunch.
Okay.
So, yeah, you know, it's just these young kids started buying ukes, and now it's just evolved, especially from the internet, because people are playing Beatles songs and,
right.
you know, classic hits on ukuleles and doing it very well. And, you know, the YouTube video thing has just blown up a lot of instruments over the years. And ukes, like I said, who knew that we would be stocking $300 ukuleles?
Yeah.
You know, when we thought, oh, it's just kind of a cute little thing, $25.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just as a gag gift, you know, or not a gift, but, you know, that idea, you know, it's kind of fun. But it's really taken off. And, ukuleles kind of part of the acoustic world. But, yeah, steady guitar-wise, it's always been acoustic guitars. It's been the most popular.
Okay.
I think that's mostly kind of comes down to you can pick up an acoustic and play it anywhere
right.
at any time. You don't need power to plug it in and play. That idea where your electric guitar, if you want to hear anything, you have to have some type of amplification. So it could be that. I said banjos and mandolins, dobros, those are what I kind of call roots style.
Mm-hmm.
They've taken off. And I think that is also taken, you know, part of the internet, back to the internet again. You see somebody playing, or a band playing bluegrass music, where maybe in this area you don't see a whole lot of it, but down south, say, you know,
mm-hmm.
I'm just pick, say, Alabama, for example.
Yeah.
I hate to classify it as hillbilly music, but I've heard them call it hillbilly music,
mm-hmm.
so I can kind of say that.
Yeah.
And it's just like, and it's played extremely well. So, you know, when you have access to just go to your YouTube and, you know, you see a band playing this type of music with these, you know, instruments and say, hey, I can play rock music on a banjo.
Right.
You know, okay. So, you know, people consider that too. It's not, they just don't have to think of it as a hillbilly instrument.
Yeah, exactly. They just kind of create and kind of make their own identity out of it if they wanted.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So.
Impressive the number of Michael Jackson covers you can make out of different instruments.
Oh, absolutely. So true. It's just, you know, if you have the idea, just do it.
Yeah.
Whether it's good or bad, it doesn't matter. You know, it's whether or not you're just having fun with it.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
Okay. So have you guys ever done much for the vocal music, or do you guys kind of steer away from that?
Yeah, we don't have, never had a vocal teacher. There is a couple of teachers that we have good relationship that they come in and buy music from us or special order music, so we help them out that way. So yeah, we do deal with vocal music help them out that way. Even, you know, in the choir teacher over at Neyland, she comes into the store and she also teaches a theory course to help understand
okay.
music theory, and she gets all the books from us, and
mm-hmm.
so I know. But when it kind of comes down to singing and anything that the store really offers, it's mostly to do with the suggestions of the teachers.
Right.
So it's like, maybe you guys should consider this book. So we'll bring it in, you know, and things like that. But yeah, it's not necessarily a strong point of the store.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cool. So at this point, I'm thinking. Kind of go maybe more into general questions, like was there anything else you want to mention about the business that we can talk about, or
I guess I didn't really kind of tell you that, you know, we classify ourselves as a full line music store.
Okay.
What that really kind of is we offer musical instruments and not just a specialty store that just does one particular instrument. We do pretty much all instruments we have access to. If there's an instrument you can think of, you know, we can get it. If not, we will search it out for you.
Oh, yeah.
That idea. With that, with selling instruments, you know, we offer the services of repairs as well. So, mm-hmm. You know, we do the repair part of it. The support of all the accessories that go with a particular instrument.
Right.
Whether, you know, if you think of your guitar, you got your pick, string, strap, tuners, you know, anything to do with a guitar, we have. Anything to do with a clarinet, you know, we do. You know, so you think of all of the instruments and all the particular accessories that go with it, right down to even method books,
mm-hmm.
to teach yourself, or DVDs, learn how to play.
Right.
You know, we offer, try to offer all of that, that's for sure. I guess that's kind of the main thing about our stores. It's just, we are, yeah, first and foremost, a retail store. We sell instruments, but yeah, we've got the support to go with it.
Okay. Actually, so I guess before we go into those general questions, maybe something I'd like to ask, do you feel you would be able to run this store in the same way if you did not have that interest, personal interest in music, or just solely from a business standpoint?
Personally, it would be very difficult.
Okay.
There was a store in Winnipeg that, it was, the original owner sold to a fellow who had no background. He just thought he liked to listen to music.
Right.
He came from a background of selling quads and motorbikes and stuff. So,
okay.
And he was in a retail world,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, unfortunately, it's a different business.
Right.
You know, he just didn't have the understanding of what musicians like. And, you know, musicians are quirky people. Everybody's quirky, but, you know, musicians, they can be, a little different. And
mm-hmm.
And I shouldn't say just musicians, but it's just, it's different, I guess. Every business is different, even though it's classified as retail. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, unfortunately for him, it didn't necessarily work out for him. So I think you just have to have some type of, you know, musical background. I'm not the greatest player by any means, but like I said, what I tell people is I have a good understanding of most instruments, but I don't play anything really well.
Oh, yeah.
So, but the fact that I still tinker with them and, you know, enjoy being around music every day, I come in and, you know, I enjoy being here. I don't know if I would have that feeling if I didn't have that background that my
mm-hmm.
dad offered me.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would be ever consider music as a way of life.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that idea.
Yeah, especially when you are operating on a business where you are developing those personal connections with
mm-hmm.
your customers, too.
Yeah. And, you know, I know I said I was, you know, I'm more of a business person first, and it's so true because, you know, I enjoy, what do I need to stock? How much I got to stock?
Right.
You know, I enjoy that portion of it, but I don't know if I'd, you know, if I came from a different business, you know, I don't even know. Say I came from a pharmacy or something, you know,
mm-hmm.
where you are still stocking other items, whether I would still be good.
Yeah.
You know, still transfer the same in the music world. That's a tough one. But in the grand scheme of things, a good business person will figure that out.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's not a knock on the guy that, you know, unfortunately his business went under in Winnipeg, but that's something that I was aware of.
Okay.
I knew about, so that's why I just, but, yeah. No, I value what my parents made me do, even though I didn't want to learn piano at the time. But boy, if I could, you know, if I would have continued, piano was a great instrument.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah, it's funny how you develop that nostalgia for those instruments back when you're growing up.
Yeah, that's right.
Right. So maybe I'll just get into those general questions now. So I guess sort of a first one. How important would you say music is to a community overall?
Yeah, I think it's important personally, and it's not even just the fact that because it's how I make my living. But music offers so much. You know, you're learning. You're using your brain
mm-hmm.
to understand music, to play. It offers people who don't play music an opportunity to see music or hear music if you are a player.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's just, I really think it is important. There's communities that are, if they seem to have a good core music area or programs within the city, then it expands to the arts and, you know, other arts are, you got actors and choirs, and then choirs need sound technicians.
Right.
Sound technicians need help. It just expands from there and there and there. So, yeah, there's so many different opportunities with music, and it's not just playing.
Mm-hmm.
It's helping, it's understanding, you know, helping the person get to their gig. It's, you know, your advertising person, you know, is going to advertise for this person to show, oh, I have this gig for them. And who knows, right? There's so many different opportunities. So, I think it's quite important.
Okay, so maybe to tie into that one there, for the city itself, part of it maybe being City Hall, or maybe just being the city over, like just in general as well, what do you think, there's an actual strong relationship between music and those entities, or do you feel it's almost more of a niche thing throughout the community?
It's definitely there, because they have the music in the parks in
right.
the summer. And then there's two different areas. There's sort of one area, City Hall, has the music in parks, and then there's another part, I don't know if it's run by Renaissance Brandon or something, but then there's another, like in a different section
right.
of sort of live music throughout the summer months, that
mm-hmm.
idea. So City Hall, whether it's City Hall or it's just the Brandon community having money for the arts, you know, that idea, I think there is support. Of course, it can always be a little better.
Yeah.
But, I think for what Brandon is offering, I think they're doing a fine job.
All right.
I think it's, I say music in the parks because it happens to be running right now, right?
Yeah.
And, a few years ago, I shouldn't say a few years, I'd say maybe 10 years ago, I don't remember that being there. So it's somebody in City Hall thought, hey, you know what, we have these local musicians, let's give them a place to play once a night, you know, let the core area, Brandon, come down, and everybody's sitting, we've got these nice parks, let's
yep.
use them somehow, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, somebody clearly thought, I think of a good idea anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, makes sense. So another thing, we kind of touched on this earlier, just in regards to access to music, do you think there's a substantial amount of that today, nowadays, or do you feel it's kind of digressed over the years, or?
Live music is, digressed a little bit. And that just kind of comes down to the stories from Kent back in the day, you know, we were playing four or five nights a week. So live music, I think, has, but I do know that there's, instead of playing out live, guys or bands are getting together and they're just jamming for their friends in their own house. So
right.
I know a lot of that goes on.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, and that's a way for music, you know, people are enjoying music opposed to the pressure of having to perform and almost considering it a job.
Yeah.
You know, that idea, they're just, I've accepted, okay, there's no gigs out there, let's create our own small gigs and just have a fun,
mm-hmm.
fun time with our friends. So I know that goes on a lot. As for sort of recorded music, that's completely, like, there is no recorded music, and you can't go to that Record Baron or HMV or something that I used to do.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, you know, Saturday afternoons, you know, get your paycheck and thumb through all the CDs and see what's new. And so, and there's just, there isn't that anymore. That's, you know, changed to the digital world of
yeah.
downloading. So,
mm-hmm.
I don't know how I answered your question there, but
no.
Some of it, yeah, I just, personally, I'm kind of living in the old days. I wish there was still a physical CD to buy.
Right.
I have that jacket to open, read the music, the songs, you know, see some pictures of the band or something physical to hold on to.
Yeah.
Where you can still do that nowadays. You just gotta search online, buy it online.
Yeah.
You know, there's no physical store to go down. And
yeah. Yeah, the only physical aspect now being the computer or the MP3 player.
So. Yeah, exactly. But
All right. So would you say there's actually been any sort of memorable moments over your years here at Ted Goods for you, the ones that really stand out?
Yeah, there's been a lot. And there's a lot that I kind of forget, too. But when we talk about it over time, it's like, oh, yeah, that did happen.
Right.
First and foremost is that the day that Dad asked, you know, I'm thinking of expanding. If I do, will you stay on?
Okay.
And I made that decision, like, yeah. Because I was back in, well, it was 96, and then 97 we put the expansion on.
Mm-hmm.
So it was 96 is kind of when I made the commitment to say, you know what, I'm not going to really go anywhere. I'm not going to work anywhere else. I enjoy this. I enjoy the guys I work with. So I was very lucky in that fact that I found something so early on that, you know, what I enjoy to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that commitment to my dad. And then in 2008 when I actually took over, that was a big day for my dad. Put a lot of years in there.
Mm-hmm.
He's still actually involved. He helps me with the books. He just looks after all the book work.
Oh yeah.
But so it's those are, you know, a couple to do with me personally. As the store fact, it was 2002. I kind of mentioned earlier about a drum clinic. You know, that was kind of just like, Dad's it. You're in charge. So I kind of figured it out and, you know, kind of rolled with it, and we had a great time, you know, and we brought this drum clinician out. So, you know, that involved, you know, talking with all the local drummers, getting to say, hey, you know, we're putting this clinic on, the schools, you know, the advertising, the promotion aspect of all of that. So that was kind of, I think that was mostly because that's when I just finished up ACC, and he was kind of giving me a little test. What'd you learn in school type thing? So that went over really well. I enjoyed doing that, and, you know, and hanging out with, you know, the fellow afterwards and quizzing him. I guess just learning on the job. One of the other fellows here, Scott, he's kind of our PA system install guy.
Okay.
I love going out and helping him install speakers, and it's just like in school gyms and stuff, like, you know, the construction aspect of things. You know,
okay.
PA systems is a big thing, and going out and doing sound, I've, you know, helped out with that, do that. So yeah, there's kind of lots of opportunities this, you know, over the years that the music business has kind of given me anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, I could probably go on if I had more time to think, but
Well, actually, at that point, I have run out of questions.
Okay.
So, I don't know, is there anything that you'd like to comment about? Anything you'd like to say or touch on a little more?
No, you know, I've enjoyed this. It's kind of made me rethink everything that I do. It's just so day-to-day, and it's just, some of it's a little kind of monotonous. Other is just, you never know who's coming through the door with your problem, right?
Right.
But, no, I thought this was good. I thought, good questions, that's for sure. And it made me really kind of think of the ask, you know, things that I haven't thought of about the store in a long time.
Okay.
So, yeah, no, I enjoyed this.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, thank you.